Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, this is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. The Herd brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Keep your car running newer and longer. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Thursday. Bunch of NFL games tonight. Bunch of preseason stuff with a lot of young quarterbacks.
Maybe the most interesting must-watch NFL preseason I can ever remember.
Night ever.
Yes.
That's a great point. All-time preseason night. Tonight's as good as it gets. We're going to get all these young quarterbacks on display. Three or four of them tonight and then a couple over the course of the weekend. Let me start with this. Speaking of quarterbacks. We tend to think that talent determines your legacy as a quarterback. And I'm here to tell you, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Personality dictates your legacy as a quarterback. You think Tom Brady and Joe Montana are the two greatest quarterback talents ever? No, they're not. They had the perfect personality with the coach, the owner, and the GM they work with. Personality will determine your quarterback legacy. Here's a great example. Martellus Bennett, little flaky, but I know him and I like him, has played with Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And here's what he had to say when comparing Aaron Rodgers of the Packers and Tom Brady of the New England Patriots.
No one has more arm talent than Aaron. Aaron could do pretty much anything with the ball. Tom is precise, easy to play with. I'll say it's easier to play with Tom than anybody else. He communicates the best of like what he expects. The communication between him and receiver is probably like on the highest level.
Oh, Tom's the better communicator, therefore the better teammate. Is that surprising? Well, let's look at Tom Brady's history. He comes from a formidable family. When talking about his mother and father, he often cries on camera. He then creates, with Giselle, an amazing family, which he lets us watch during a documentary. It's remarkable. For two global icons, it's remarkably grounded. And then he goes to the NFL for 18 years, Joy, and creates the greatest family in two decades, Kraft, Belichick, Brady. You think that's a coincidence? Great family. Still cries about him. Creates a great family. And then creates a great family at work. Aaron Rodgers has squabbled with his brother and squabbled with his parents and is single with no kids. He is the great talent. He is the great individual. Aaron Rodgers, as Greg Cosell, somebody I trust who watches every play of every game every year, talks about Aaron Rodgers. And listen to how it sounds like not a teammate, but an individual.
The reality is when you watch Aaron Rodgers, and it takes nothing away from his performances over the years, but he's not truly a rhythm player, Colin. He's kind of an offbeat player, an off-rhythm player. He's more like a jazz beat. He's a second reaction player. And very often there are throws that are there within the rhythm of the play and the timing of the play, and he doesn't make those throws. Now, he might move around and then make another throw, but there are times against really good defenses where that doesn't work. It's tough to be consistent that way against higher level defenses.
Well, isn't that interesting? Martellus Bennett and Greg Cosell saying the same thing. Oh, he's a remarkable talent, but he's sort of a solo act, an individual often in crisis. When you think of Aaron Rodgers, you think of Hail Marys, Jared Cook throw, you think of individually amazing moments. When you think of Tom Brady, you think of podiums. Owner, coach, family, driving fourth quarter, winning drive with marginal wide receiver talent. This is not a coincidence. When you think of Brett Favre, high risk quarterback, go read a book about him. Big risk taker, party animal early. Alex Smith, lower ceiling, dependable guy. Lower ceiling, dependable quarterback. Go look at the history of the NFL. Talent did not determine Troy Aikman or Peyton Manning. There have been bigger, stronger, faster, better arms. It was their individual passion and commitment and detail that elevated them to two of the five, six best quarterbacks I've ever seen play in my life. We get so caught up. Think about this. Think about two people, Cam Newton and Jay Cutler. Those are two of the best five arms in the last decade. But Cam Newton and Jay Cutler are moody people. Well, what does moody mean? It means your personality is inconsistent. I don't know what I get. You know, my girlfriend's moody, meaning when you walk through the doors at the house or the apartment, you're not sure what you get as a personality. She says, my boyfriend's so moody. She walks through the door of the house, the condo. She's not sure what she gets with a personality. Cam and Cutler are moody personalities. And they're inconsistent quarterbacks. Week, quarter, half, you don't know what you get with Cam. You don't know what walks through the door with Jay Cutler. It is not a coincidence that Tom Brady, great family, then created a great family, and then created a great NFL family. And Aaron Rodgers, single, no kids, squabbled with family, is the great artist. Hollywood is filled with great artists. Often have struggled with family, but they're talented. We get so caught up in talent. That does not determine your quarterback legacy. Your personality will. Great stuff by Martellus Bennett. I tell my kids, let's shift gears. I tell my kids this all the time. Is that I can't predict the future like 20, 30 years. But I'm pretty good at predicting my business for the next 10. I don't make 20-year game plans. I mean, things could happen. I could have health issues. The world changes, media, day-to-day. But I tell my kids all the time, I can kind of figure out what's going to happen the next 5 or 10 years in my business. Beyond that, who knows? You know, 15 years ago, there's no Netflix. It's changed TV. But I could tell you 5 years ago, watch out for Netflix. Here they come. And so I tell my kids all the time, you know, the world doesn't need another sociology major. Find a passion, but I can tell you that the world doesn't need that. So I saw this story. The Raiders are now warming up to the possibility of trading Khalil Mack. And I have mostly blamed Gruden and the Raiders for this. But it should be mentioned that Aaron Donald of the Rams defensive tackle wants $25 million a year. That's what Tom Brady makes. Earl Thomas safety for the Seattle Seahawks. I'm not talking to Pete Carroll or John Snyder, the GM. Defensive players, jobs all over the globe become more and less relevant all the time. Okay, being stubborn is an awful personality trait because the world's changing. And dog, if you're not changing with it, it's passing you by. Nobody's bigger than a culture. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would not have been as effective as the best scorer I ever saw in basketball if he played today. They'd say, Kareem, can you shoot a three? No. All right, hit the bench. Fourth quarter, 8 minutes to go. No man's bigger than a culture. You can create a micro culture within a bigger culture. I can have a brand within a company with a big brand, but I'm not bigger than a culture. Okay, defensive players, NFL, hello, the world's changing. Call your teams, talk to your agents. You're not as valuable today. Two of the top five scoring defenses in the NFL met in the Super Bowl, Philadelphia and New England. They punted once in 4 hours. 800 passing yards. Nick Foles looked like John Elway. Nobody can stop anybody. You've got to be available to people based on the urgency and the need of your job. You see it in the movie business all the time now. I can watch stuff at home. The only way you're getting me to a theater, I want to get a cocktail. I want some decent food. I want a better seat. I want it to recline, or I'm not going to the movies. If I'd have told you 30 years ago, yeah, you won't want to go to the movies. You'll just stay home and watch TV. You'd be like, hey, that's crazy. They got a big screen. I get these stars. Oh, now I can watch on my terms at home. I mean, I can watch 10 hours of straight TV and binge watch. Okay, movie theaters have had to change. Give me a cocktail. Give me a recliner. I want to walk in. I want a restaurant. You got to give me more. You can't jam me next to somebody. Like, every business evolves. Some, like the one I'm in, evolves quickly. We have seen two rules in the past couple of months change in the NFL, and they're defensive player killers. Catch rule. The last 15 years, not a catch, not a catch, not a catch, not a catch, not a catch. This year, that's a catch, that's a catch, that's a catch, that's a catch. That's bad for defensive players. The other rule is helmet rule. Okay. Flag, 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 flag. Automatic first down. Player ejection. That's an anti-defensive rule. These defensive guys, Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, Earl Thomas. Dude, the world's changing. Newspaper people can't demand a raise now. It's 2018. In the 70s, newspaper guy goes in, there's no cable television. I am the voice of the community. Newspaper guy now walks into his boss and says, please don't fire me. Just keep me for two more years. I got a kid in college. NFL players in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you were the man. But increasingly over the last decade, J.J. Watt gets hurt. Who cares? 2 years ago, Texans make the playoffs. Ndamukong Suh, unbelievable, highest paid defensive player. Dolphins can't win with him. Aaron Donald didn't do anything with the Rams until they got McVay and Goff. Now Aaron Donald, he's winning a bunch of games. When they didn't have the coach right and the quarterback right, Aaron Donald wasn't winning games. Here are the highest paid defensive players in the NFL last year. You notice how many of those guys made the playoffs? Not many of them. Well, Colin, what about Fletcher Cox? Yeah, I'm going to go with the Eagles were loaded everywhere. Nothing against Fletcher Cox. But, man, you got to evolve on this stuff. These defensive players putting a line in the sand. I will not. I cannot. This is what I want. It's not the way the world works. Rule changes. Stubborn is a really, really bad personality trait. The world's changing. Change with it. Wake up. I love Perky Jerky. What makes it so great are all the unique flavors. They have a new variety pack. Home run. A lot of options. Listen, life gets boring fast. Try a different flavor. Every game, special offer, 40% off all multi-packs. The best tasting jerky on earth, guaranteed. As preseasons go, we all know that week three is when starters play about half the game. But by and large, preseason football, it's sort of like college football's first couple of weeks when it's like Alabama against Panera Bread. You know, you're like, it's on, but All right, tonight's rare. They got a bunch of young quarterbacks. It's very exciting. Baker Mayfield is going to be the most interesting to a majority of people. Right. I get it. I'm interested. I want to watch him. This will be a lot of fun. I think he'll be fine. I think he is an accurate thrower. I like his release point. I think he's going to be a very accurate thrower. I think his ceiling is Case Keenum. His ceiling is not Drew Brees like everybody else thinks, but he's going to get a lot of attention. All right, then there's Lamar Jackson, who I've said from the beginning is a project, not a prospect. Baker could start this year at some point and win a game or two and be ready and feel like at the line of scrimmage he's ready to go. Lamar Jackson's playing tonight. We saw it in the first game. I think we'll see it again. Plays a little fast, better runner than a thrower, mostly looks to the right side, not to the left side. He is a project. I don't think he's ready to start at any point this year in the NFL. He may. November, Ravens struggling, schedule gets tougher, fans going crazy, the Tebow effect, not ready, but put him in. So those are the two quarterbacks getting a lot of attention tonight. And here is the schedule tonight. Here's the four games that I think people should pay attention to. Cleveland Giants, Baker, Carolina Buffalo, Josh Allen, who, again, like Lamar, I think is a project, not a prospect. I don't think he's ready to start. Rams, Ravens, Lamar Jackson. But that Houston-Kansas City game, folks, that's the game. And it's not going to get as much love as the Colts tomorrow, the Seahawks, the Niners, the Cowboys, Baker Mayfield. The guy that's actually you should have your eye on, because remember, most of these young quarterbacks are going into situations where the team is bad, the roster is bad. Sam Darnold, the Jets roster is bad. The offensive line's pathetic. Baker Mayfield, Cleveland, bad, dysfunctional. Josh Rosen, Arizona. They're kind of in a rebuilding mode on offense. Lamar Jackson, Baltimore. There's a reason they drafted a quarterback. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City is different. Patrick Mahomes got to sit last year and watch. Perfect. He comes into the league with a high-end, often brilliant offensive schematic coach, Andy Reid. And their personnel, it is money. That is a loaded roster with amazing weapons on offense. Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. You got stars, track guys. back, star receiver, slot guy. Okay, that's the guy to watch. This guy, everybody else, think about this. Who are the young quarterbacks we like? Okay, they're Jared Goff, offensive coach. Dak Prescott, offensive coach. Carson Wentz, offensive coach. Most of these young quarterbacks are going to defensive coaches. Sam Darnold's head coach defense. Josh Rosen's defense. Josh Allen's defense. Lamar Jackson's defense. Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs. If he fails, it's on him. No excuses. He got to sit for a year. He has a brilliant offensive coach. He's got a stable organization. And they got talent on offense everywhere. Nobody's going to talk about him tomorrow except us. You're going to talk about Baker and Lamar and the Cowboys. This is the young kid to watch. I predicted Kansas City would go 9-7 this year because I have no idea. They got the coach. They got the personnel. That, to me, is 8-8, 9-7. This team, if this kid comes out and is a rock star, you're going to have a team that I can put in the class of New England and Pittsburgh in the AFC. Darnold can't do it this year. Baker can't do it this year. Josh Allen can't do it this year. Josh Rosen can't do it this year. Lamar Jackson can't do that this year. This is the kid. He's got the coach and the personnel and the stability. If he comes out tonight and is a rock star, New England, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City, watch him tonight.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I say this all the time. When it comes to surgeons, stockbrokers, and sportscasters, you should want them to change their opinion with new information. If your son or daughter was dying and the surgeon says, "I just read something in the New England Medical Journal that I think can save their life," would you say, "No, stick with the old way"? Or would you say, "Try the new thing"? If your stockbroker said, "I've got new information, sell that stock," would you say, no, "I don't want the new information"? And with a sportscaster, my job is to read and react. That's what I do every day. I'm a reader and a reactor. When I get new information, I pass it along to you. I'm not stubborn and stick with stuff. So the Raiders 2 years ago, I really liked them. And this year, I don't like him. And everybody's like, "Well, I thought you loved the Raiders." You got a new coach. You got a coach that was out of the sport for 10 years. Reggie McKenzie now does not have a 10-year contract. The GM I like, your coach does. And I think your coach is going to make all the calls. I saw this story today. Raiders want their Pro Bowl left tackle Donald Penn to take a pay cut. Oh, boy. Left tackle matters. Donald Penn's good. So let's go back and look at the reasons I was on the Raiders and I'm not. You come in and you cut your punter, Marquette King, Pro Bowler, fan favorite. Then you draft a punter. Who drafts a punter? You get ripped if you draft a kicker and they score. Who drafts a punter? Then you trade a third-round pick for Martavis Bryant of the Steelers. He's had a disastrous camp. You need draft picks, not receivers who are struggling to figure out the playbook, which according to the stories is true. You've already got the worst stadium deal. You've already got the worst, poorest owner. You've already got a lame duck situation where you literally don't know where you're playing next year. Then in the first round, you pick Colton Miller from UCLA, who I saw play 10 times last year. He's good. Not a first rounder. It was a reach. You've had several players say, "Yeah, John brings in 1970 film to look at." Okay. Why would you want your sportscaster, your surgeon, or your stockbroker to not read and react? I'm not going to stick to opinions when information changes. Now, every Tuesday during the football season, I do something called the Herd Hierarchy. This year, a one-time deal, I introduced the Herd Dumpster Firearchy. And these are teams that feel like they're in a dumpster with gasoline and old crusty newspapers, and they're just a match away from lighting. Here's my top 10 Raiders. When's the last time there was good news at a Raider camp with Gruden? Number 2, Buccaneers. They don't have Jameis Winston for 3 weeks. Number 3, the Lions. Patriot coordinators often implode and implode early as head coaches. Matt Patricia, good luck. 4, the Ravens. I'm sorry, I think there's a Tebow thing happening where Lamar Jackson's not ready to start this year, and he's eventually, through Flacco's mediocrity, going to be pushed into a starting role this year. Number five, Carolina. They've already lost two offensive linemen. You got a former receiver taking shots at Cam Newton. Cam Newton's got a new offensive coordinator, Norv Turner, that's pretty demanding on precision. Cam's not precise. I always think Cam's had better talent than everybody wants to admit. They're number five. Number six and number seven are the Dolphins, Bears. I just put them on this list every year because of the Dolphins and the Bears. Number eight, Seattle. Pete Carroll's in the last year of a contract. We just had Marshawn Lynch call him out. Cliff Averill came on our show 2 months ago and called out Pete. This was a very loud, often political, player-enabling locker room. It's now turning on its side. Number nine, the Jaguars. Now they got to play Andrew Luck twice a year. He was gone last year. Now they got to play Deshaun Watson twice a year. He was gone last year. My guess is they go 0-4 against Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck, 1-3 or 0-4. And by November, Tom Coughlin's telling the head coach, we got to get another quarterback. This Blake Bortles thing is not going to work. Blake Bortles, in my opinion, the fourth best quarterback in a division. And they've got about a 2-year window with those defensive players and contracts to make it big. And I think you're going to have controversy in Jacksonville by November. And finally, Denver, a great franchise. I've always called them the Steelers in a mountain range. Formidable, good ownership, good coaches, good GMs. They draft well. But that's increasingly a tough division. John Elway is very impatient. Case Keenum looked great for the first time in his career because, I don't know, Minnesota's loaded and they had a great coaching staff. Case Keenum's going to go to Denver and I think look like, you know, Case Keenum, and there's going to be some pressure. But number one on that list is the Raiders. I'm not anti-Raider. I was pro a couple years ago. Jack Del Rio loved me. Derek Carr came on the show. Raider Nation liked me because you had a GM who was doing really smart things. He was drafting well. They were signing free agents for the right number. He had the power. You had the owner. You had the GM. You had the quarterback. Now I got a coach with a 10-year deal. He's been out of the sport for 10 years. The punter, the draft picks, Martavis Bryant. I don't like it. By the way, you know, when people say, Colin, you flip-flop. You know what else flip-flops, Joy? GPS. You ever use a GPS? It flip-flops. So like when there's a mattress on the freeway, GPS is like, yeah, take the exit before the mattress.
Yeah, you gotta have Waze out here. You have Waze?
Yeah. Waze, GPS, they flip-flop all the time. Guy that doesn't want flip-flopping. So when you're driving down the freeway and there's an overturned 18-wheeler, do you not use GPS and Waze when they say, warning, take an exit? Or you're like, hey, I don't flip-flop. This is how I'm going to work. This is how I've always gone to work. I don't want any new information.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
We have the best preseason night in the history of the NFL, at least in the last few years. Got a bunch of Baker Mayfield playing, Patrick Mahomes playing. I get Lamar Jackson playing, Josh Allen playing. A bunch of these young quarterbacks. Got the Cowboys playing.
And you have no idea what to expect.
No idea what to expect. Here's what I can guarantee you, though. Here's a story today. NFL referee Brad Allen, quote, we're going to err on the side of calling helmet penalties in preseason because we want to get it right by the time we get to the season. In the preseason, we want to err on the side of putting the flag on the ground and then evaluate it if it's correct. Well, we all know that Twitter outrage is an epidemic in the United States. Every day, people go to Twitter and say the world is ending. And of course, it's not ending. It's only an epidemic on Twitter, which is mostly where irrelevant people go to try to become relevant. They overreact to everything. So let me do a segment called Tonight's Tweets Today. I'm going to predict what you're going to see on Twitter in about 6 hours. Here's the first one from Sky is Falling Guy, at Sky is Falling Guy. The NFL is unwatchable. All right, our next tweet, Tonight's Tweets Today, is from at Definitely Still Watching Guy. I'll never watch the NFL again. Helmet rule, no good. Tonight's tweets today. Here's the next one you'll see from at Conspiracy Theory Guy. Football is ruined forever. And finally, tonight's tweets today from at Way Too Tough Guy. NFL is soft. Says a fat guy in his basement. NFL is soft. You ever been hit by Luke Kuechly? I don't think it's that soft. The refs are telling you they're going to throw flags tonight. They're going to over-officiate. They want to get it right for the regular season. But that's going to be Twitter tonight.
100%.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I said when Baker Mayfield came on this show, I had a lot of respect for him because it wasn't going to be easy. And I'll say it again about T.O. I have my issues with T.O. He never chooses the easy route. He doesn't. He came on this show and we argued. He called my producers and said, I'll come on one show. Right now, today. He's not doing other shows. This is his first interview. We're not the easiest show for him because I have challenged him and disagreed with him, but he always is willing to discuss things. At some level, that's a real thing. T.O. is online. By the way, he's going to be on the cover of Madden 19 Hall of Fame Edition game. It comes out tomorrow, August 10th. All right, let's start with this, T.O. I did not love, because I think you and Randy Moss had very similar careers. Great talents, all-time stuff, top three in everywhere, 15 years, five teams, a little bit of baggage. I thought he looked big embracing the Hall of Fame. I didn't like you in Chattanooga. I didn't think it was big enough. How would you respond to that criticism?
I mean, you and others, have bought into a perception about me that really doesn't exist, and it really wasn't about you and everybody else. As I mentioned, and I think, you know, you being a smart guy, I mean, if you've heard my speech or if you read the transcript, it pretty much is spot on. So, I mean, to answer that, I mean, I was with really people that really love me, respect me, and supported me. And again, I spoke to David Baker and I explained to him I could have set my pride aside and been there in Canton and used that stage. But I felt like the stage that I was on was bigger than Canton's stage because I couldn't, you know, me personally, I wasn't going to be able to put on a phony face for a lot of those guys that have openly come out and attacked my character, have questioned my character, and even guys like Michael Irvin, Chris Carter, your Dan Fouts that don't know me personally, these guys live in a glass house, but they've been throwing stones. And so for me, I wasn't going to feel comfortable, neither my family was going to feel comfortable in that environment. So I've even talked to them. So everybody that has asked or made the comments about they missed something in Canton, you can ask them yourself. They didn't miss anything. The only Hall of Famer that they were concerned about was the one that was being introduced and got inducted in Chattanooga.
By the way, you believe people don't respect you. I would argue that people do respect you. You are considered, along with Jerry Rice and Randy Moss, as the greatest offensive perimeter player ever. There's no lack of respect for T.O. There is something within you that you don't feel you're respected. I would say you're a dynamic player in personality, and because of that, you are polarizing in America. Couldn't I argue you're overreacting to small criticisms? You're an American iconic personality. This is part of the, you're going to get it ripped occasionally on opinion shows.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm very open-minded and I know that people are entitled to their opinion. But you know, what I did with my induction and my ceremonies, I took control of the narrative. And I think you and others alike, you guys didn't like it because I stood up for something that I know, what was right in my eyes. For over 15 plus years, your Skip Bayless and those alike, they have basically lied on me as far as my character was concerned. And I wasn't going to stand, keep standing for that. Again, just some months ago, you know, Skip said on his show that I was evaluated. I was mentally evaluated. For people to say, for him to go out and say something like that, that's ridiculous. You know, as well as I know, mental illness, that's a serious issue. And for him to go on the national air and audience to say that, I beg him, show me documentation where I was mentally evaluated. Dude, stuff like that, I don't get down with. Those are blatant lies. Over the course of my career, people have said I was a bad teammate. Colin, name one person that has come out and said that I was a bad teammate. Nobody has said that but the media. And so for me, that's why I did it the way that I did it, because based on me getting into the Hall of Fame, they went outside of the guidelines, the criteria, and the bylaws to prevent me from getting in. That's what I was more upset about, is because my character has been questioned and challenged, and I'm not one to stand for that.
Okay, I'm not going to speak for anybody else. Let me speak for me. I have told you to your face. I'm like, you're a little high maintenance. I mean, you would ignore you. I mean, God, by the way, people could say, I mean, Joy could say I'm high maintenance. You wouldn't deny. There are times you've been needy. That you wouldn't. You can't deny that. That's not mental illness, but you're needy.
What's needy? Because I know my ability, in which you just alluded to, that I'm a dynamic player, and I know most of the time if I get my hands on the ball, something is going to happen. Yeah, if that's the case, I'm not the most needy person or athlete or receiver that you've ever met. So why am I the most polarizing needy person?
I didn't say most. I said, by the way, guys that are as talented as Randy Moss generally don't end up on five teams. That's what I'm saying. Both of you could be tough to coach. You're doing sit-ups and drives. You could be tough on guys. I think you're being too sensitive to that.
No. Okay. So let's just talk about the five teams. And that rhetoric and that narrative is that five teams wanted to get rid of me. Let's start with San Francisco. Why do you feel like they wanted to get rid of me? They didn't get rid of me. If I was such an issue before the error by my agent, you know, with not submitting the papers to my, I had a 5-year, 7-year deal. In order for that to be voided, he had to put that paperwork in. If it wasn't for that, it wouldn't have been an issue. So if I was such a bad teammate, then why didn't the 49ers get rid of me before that era happened?
No, you're falling into bad teammate. Bad teammate are your words. My thing is, sometimes you're high maintenance. Sometimes
been the narrative.
Well, you wouldn't be on five. Pilot. You wouldn't be on five teams if you didn't come with a little maintenance, right? You're too good. You're too talented to bounce around.
No, the first time I left San Francisco, it had to do with an error from my agent. If, like I just said, are you not listening to me?
Yes, but you played on four other teams.
And so has the other, a lot of other superstars, like Deion Sanders. He played on five teams. So
and by the way, he was high. And by the way, Deion, I love. He was needy and high maintenance.
So Shaq has played on multiple teams.
Yes, Shannon had a massive personality. Oh, who did he say? Oh, you said, Shaq. By the way, yeah. Shaq, needy. I love him. High maintenance. What's
so
wrong with that?
So guess what? I'm in good company then.
Yeah, well, I got right. I'm not saying you're not. But I'm
saying needy,
just own it. Just be like, okay, I can be a little needy. Just own it. It's okay. You're getting sensitive. I don't call you a bad human. I've never called you a bad human.
Well, I don't have to agree with your term needy. I don't look at it as needy. That's your term you're using. You're mad because I'm not agreeing with your term.
Okay, let me do this. I got a minute and a half left. You're a gold jacket guy. I don't want to see Denzel Washington do a B movie. You're a gold jacket guy. Stop with the CFL. You're above the CFL. You're a mile above. You're in a different galaxy than the CFL. A minute left. What are you doing working out for the CFL?
I can do what I want to do. You guys are mad because you guys can't control me. That's all that matters. If I want to go play sandlock or flag football, what's this? It's no different than guys going and playing in the flag football league. There's no difference.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I don't like world-class guys going playing sandlot football. You're a gold jacket guy.
It doesn't matter. The gold jacket doesn't make me. The Hall of Fame doesn't make me. I was going to be who I am without the Hall of Fame, regardless.
Are you willing to admit on this show you're high maintenance? I think you admitted it.
Oh, yeah, I probably am a little high maintenance.
There we go. We've had...
I could be a little high maintenance, but that's not a bad thing.
Sometimes. Okay, let me promote your thing. T.O.'s on the cover of Madden 19 Hall of Fame Edition. It comes out tomorrow, August 10th. Second all-time receiving yards. Third all-time receiving touchdown. Six times Pro Bowler. And a legend, a little needy, but a legend. And he came on the show. I'm showing the cover right now. T.O., You never duck our show. You know I appreciate that, and I'm telling the public that, because you don't duck us, and we may disagree, but I'll always invite you on the couch, and thank you.
Anytime, anytime.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app. After almost 3 hours, Colin apparently hasn't gotten to the point yet. Quit holding out on us, Cowherd. It's the best for last.
So, the Raiders pass rusher, Khalil Mack, holding out. Seattle's Earl Thomas, safety, holding out. Aaron Donald, Rams, holding out. It's a new era, and it's come upon us very quickly. Offenses, the rules, people don't want to pay big money, even for defensive stars. Bucky Brooks, who was drafted in this league, played in this league, and was a scout in this league, talked about it recently on our show.
For years, we heard defense wins championships. Well, now the shift is changing. It is all about the offense. It's all about the passing game. It's all about playmakers and passers. And so what we've seen, and you just have to follow the money. In recent weeks, we've seen Ty Gurley get his money as a big-time playmaker, as a running back slash wide receiver. We've seen these receivers who guys are like, oh, my God, Sammy Watkins, Brandon Cooks, Stephon Diggs, Jarvis Landry. All these guys are getting money at the $16 million mark.
And I just think we talked about this earlier. This happens all the time, is that jobs disappear in America. They just disappear in America. So the staff said, this morning we were having our meeting, and they said, you'd be amazed at the jobs that used to be relevant jobs in America, like fax machine repairman. Like, that job's over, right? I can remember the day in local news. I remember this day well. I remember where I was sitting. I'm sitting at my computer, and they took my typewriter out of the newsroom in Las Vegas at KVBC and put in a computer. And I remember thinking, oh, whoever owns the rights to typewriters in America, it just ended right in front of me. They took out all the typewriters and put in computers. So my staff said, let's play a game. Real job or fake job? Jobs that have disappeared in America, or did they ever exist? Here we go.
It's time for the game where you have to guess whether a job really existed or if it's something we totally made up. Get ready to play Real Job or Fake Job.
Now,
here's your host, a man who kind of has a real job, John Goulet.
All right, John. Real okay. Job, fake job. By the way, fullbacks in the NFL disappeared. You and I grew up with fullbacks.
Yeah.
The Patriots use a fullback occasionally. Fullback in the NFL.
The Giants are going to use a fullback.
Yeah. Here we go.
A ratner, a person who caught rats and sold them so they could be used to feed dogs. Real job or fake job?
Joy!
You know, I'm kind of starting to learn the beats of these games.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, I'm with Joy. That's a fake job.
Believe it or not, that's real.
Real job. That actually existed.
Well, why would they? Okay. That seemed, I mean, keep
oh,
what?
God. Oh, we have pictures of it. Good hell.
Why'd you want to feed the rats to the dogs?
Okay,
who's
next
paying
one.
For that?
Resurrectionist, a person who dug up dead bodies and sold them to medical schools.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
No. I'm going no.
I'm going to say yeah, because there are people now that have to deal at cemeteries and other jobs. There are people.
Yeah, but
that,
they don't bury those bodies first.
Okay, you say no. I say it's a real job.
Believe it or not, that's real.
What?
Real job.
A resurrection.
I mean, how is the body then fit for medical?
I guess you got to be real quick.
All right.
Maybe that's why it's a job. It's a timely matter. You got to get it out of there. Soup dandy. A person who held candles under soup pots to keep them warm.
No. I'm consistently going no.
First of all, our staff is not funny enough to create that on their own. That is a real job.
Fakety fake, fake, fake.
Fake job.
Our staff came up with soup dandy? My staff's more talented than I thought.
Why would you hold the candle?
God, my staff's got real. That's pretty impressive.
Next one, a knocker-upper. Not what you think. A person who tapped on windows to wake people up in the morning.
You know
There's
what?
So much to say.
Okay, I will say, yeah, knocker upper. I'm going to say, I think I read a book about this. I think I've seen a picture of this before. I think this one's real.
I'm also going to go yes.
Yeah, there was no alarm clocks. I think I've seen pictures of this. I think it's real.
Believe it or not, that's real.
A knocker upper.
What if you had two people on different sides of town or far away that both wanted to get up at 7 a.m.?
That's the internet picture I've seen of that job. That's it right there.
But if two people have to wake up at the same time, you can't go to both places. So someone's automatically late.
No?
That's a good point.
Okay, next one, a lector. A person who read the news to factory workers to keep them from becoming bored.
Now, by the way, they're showing another one on the screen. Okay, here we go. A lector. A person who did what? Who read the
news to factory workers to keep them from becoming bored.
I'll go yes on that one.
Yeah, I'll go yes on that one, too.
Believe it or not, that's real.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that sounds right.
It went away because it was too distracting.
Okay.
Now we have everything in the world to distract us. We don't need a lector.
Next, we actually have automation, so we have no factory workers. We have automation now, robots.
Okay, next one, a hole puncher, a person who was specifically trained to punch holes in donuts.
No, that's stupid. That doesn't exist.
No.
That's stupid.
Fake.
That is not a real job.
That's not how you make donuts.
That's something our staff would come up with. That one's dumb, yeah.
Okay, electric scooter charger, a person who found electric scooters and recharged their batteries.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's right. I think I've heard of that.
That's probably still a job, right?
Yeah, it's a job today. Go ahead.
Believe it or not, that's real.
That actually currently exists. You were right on.
Yeah, it currently exists.
I feel like our writers may have kind of taken some time off as they got through some of these.
Yeah. We wrap this game up. What else?
Okay, last one. Paperboy, a person who drove around delivering newspapers so people could get their news in the fastest way possible.
There's no way there was ever an industry where you deliver the news a day after it happened. That has never been an industry. There's no way you could ever have an industry where you delivered day-old news to people's porches.
Imagine having to wait that long to find out what's going on.
That industry could never have existed, John.
Believe it or not, that's real.
That job still exists, too.
Where a young man throws paper on your porch for day-old news? How's that industry doing, John?
Not booming.
Real job or fake job? What do the wise guys wear? I get asked that from time to time. The answer is the new gear from the HerdNow.com merchandise store. We are now officially open for business. We have all the apparel diehard Herd fans need to represent the show. Go to the HerdNow.com. If you don't, that's a you problem. And that's a you problem is one of our shirts. Check it out. The HerdNow.com. The HerdNow.com store is open for business today.